Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown, bringing you the numbers and the narrative behind the company's moving markets.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Today, we're diving into EOG Resources' second quarter 2026 results. And Alex, this one's got some genuinely fun stuff in it, including oil wells in the UAE.
We'll get there. But first, the disclaimer, because we always start with it. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Good. Glad that's out of the way. Okay, Alex, break down the numbers for us. This was apparently a record quarter for EOG.
It really was. Adjusted earnings per share came in at $5.70, adjusted cash flow per share hit $8.29, and free cash flow was $2.8 billion, all record levels. CEO Ezra Yacob credited robust oil prices, but he was careful to frame this as more than just a commodity tailwind. He called it consistent, high-quality execution.
And the shareholder return story backs that up. They returned just over $1.8 billion to shareholders in the quarter, $540 million in dividends, $1.3 billion in buybacks. They've now got $11.7 billion left on the repurchase authorization, and they're reiterating the commitment to return at least 70% of annual free cash flow in 2026.
The balance sheet numbers are what really stood out to me. $4.9 billion in cash, net debt of just $3 billion, and this is the eye-popping one, a WTI break-even price below $50 a barrel for the whole 2026 program. That's a lot of cushion.
28 years without a dividend cut or suspension, too. That's not a typo. That track record spans multiple oil crashes, COVID, you name it.
Right, and guidance-wise, they're holding CapEx steady at $6.5 billion for the year, targeting 5% oil production growth and 14% total production growth. Let's talk strategy now, because the headline story this quarter was really about exploration, specifically international exploration.
Yeah, this was the most interesting part of the call for me. EOG drilled 2 1-mile wells in the UAE with ADNOC. In the first 30 days, those wells averaged over 25,000 barrels of oil per well, flowing naturally, not even on artificial lift yet.
And Keith Trasko, their SVP of exploration, said the geologic analog they're using is the Eagle Ford, similar rock type, similar product mix, similar GOR, and API gravity. So this isn't some totally unknown formation to them. It rhymes with a play they've drilled for over a decade.
Executives were pretty clear-eyed about it, too. Ezra called it early innings, a 900,000-acre concession, 3-year exploration phase, and ADNOC has an option of backing down the line. They're not rushing toward a final investment decision.
There was also a really human moment in the Q&A about the Iran conflict's impact on operations. Ezra said that despite intermittent operations in Bahrain due to the conflict, the crisis actually became, his words, an opportunity to stress test the relationship with our partners, and that communication with ADNOC and BAPCO had been transparent throughout.
Domestically, the other big reveal was a new Austin Chalk sweet spot in Lavaca County, Texas, 60,000 net acres leased at around $1,200 an acre, adjacent to their Eagle Ford position. 12 wells drilled so far showing sub-1-year payouts and returns over 100% at $65 WTI.
Jeff Leitzel, the COO, framed that as roughly a full extra year of drilling inventory for their San Antonio division. And it's a good example of their broader theme this quarter. Using their in-house technical playbook, whether that's high-pressure completion know-how from Dorado or their proprietary drilling motors, to squeeze more value out of both new and legacy acreage.
Speaking of which, the cost efficiency numbers were quietly impressive across the board. Eagle Ford well cost down to under $525 a foot, lowest in company history there. Utica cost below $600 a foot. And their in-house drilling motor program has increased footage per motor run 70% since 2023, which they say saves $100,000 to $250,000 per avoided motor failure.
So, what does this all mean for investors going forward? I'd say the takeaway is EOG is executing from a position of real strength, record cash flow, a rock-solid balance sheet, a low break-even, and a shareholder return program that isn't going anywhere. The macro backdrop they described, tight global oil inventories tied to the Iran conflict, plus a structurally strengthening natural gas demand story from LNG exports and AI-driven power demand, gives them a constructive setup for the back half of the year.
And the UAE story is the one to watch longer term. It's early, genuinely early, they said so themselves. But if EOG can replicate its U.S. operating playbook internationally, that's a new growth lever that didn't exist for this company a few years ago. Worth watching how those first wells perform once they go on artificial lift.
On the 2027 outlook, Ezra hinted they're leaning toward their three-year scenario of low single-digit oil growth, driven mostly by the Utica, with the Delaware Basin roughly flat. So don't expect a dramatic ramp. This is a disciplined, one-step-at-a-time story, not a growth story.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Bottom line, a record quarter, a fortress balance sheet, and an exploration program from Lavaca County to the UAE desert that could shape EOG's next decade.
We'll be watching the UAE artificial lift results and any 2027 guidance updates closely. That's it for this episode of Beta Finch.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.